kind and wondrous. All these are faces of love. In a moment, young Kate Wakefield, venturing into today's world of confusing freedoms, brought to you by Ban Roll-On, America's leading roll-on antiperspirant.
Sir.
Oh, hello, David.
Can I give you a lift, Henry? It's raining.
So it is.
Hop in, I'll drive you home. Or wherever you're going.
I should take the walk.
In the rain?
I shall presently be eating an extremely bountiful Sunday midday dinner. Something I haven't done for years.
You are living it up.
With Isabel.
You don't lose any time, Chief. She just got back from London. I think she's after you.
I hope so.
Relax, you.
It isn't news at all. Never hurts a man's ego to think that a charming woman is, as you say, after him. At my age, it's like vintage brandy.
She might catch you.
Heaven forbid.
Where to? Direct to the Wakefield House?
No, it's too early. The office. I've got some thinking to do.
Oh, that calls for the big desk?
It's a serious matter. I was going to talk to you about it tomorrow, David, but there's no time like the present.
None. Plus overtime, of course.
Kate's been in touch with Stephen Wolfe, or he with her.
Is he around again?
Not only around, but apparently he called on Kate when she was here one weekend, and then drove her back to the city.
Devil he did.
Of course, Kate may have had no choice.
What does that mean?
He may have some hold over her. Indeed, I think he has.
Henry, I don't know much about Wolfe, except that he spread around a lot of money after Tom's accident and got him out of legal trouble.
It's more serious than that.
But you're not talking.
I can't, David. Don't press me now about it.
Then what can I do?
I want you to keep an eye on Keith.
You've now asked the impossible.
You have more opportunity than I have. She would resent me.
She sure wouldn't love me for it. Henry, how did you find out that Wolfe has been around?
Young Nancy Reed met him the day he called on Kate. It's quite different from the days when he telephoned Kate and not leave his name. The man's gotten bolder. More comfortable.
Of what?
That's what I want to find out.
Well, why don't you talk to Kate?
I intend to. I may have to be a little severe.
I'll do what I can, Henry. Spark plug.
An absolutely dead-end Sunday, and you walk in. My lucky beats are working. Oh, or is it Dad or Mom? Well, they went to a coffee at the library to hear a Korean lute player. How would that grab you?
Well, it ought to be good for something. I came to see you.
You're kidding.
Do I come in, or do I stand out here and let the rain trickle down my bare neck?
Oh, come on in.
Thanks.
Listen. I'll light a fire and we'll mull some wine. If we have some wine. And can you mull root beer?
As far as I know, you can mull peanut butter. Cool it, honey. I want to ask you something.
Oh, I knew you weren't turned on.
Well, my collar's wet.
Oh, well. Will you sit down, Mr. Sloan, sir?
Be glad to. Nancy, a while ago you went over to see Kate when she was up here one weekend, right?
I guess so.
Well, did you?
I don't remember.
And you met a guy named Stephen Wolfe?
Oh, yeah. That time, yeah. On the porch, he was looking in the window, and Kate came up the steps.
She hadn't invited him to call?
Oh, no. She did a double take, but she asked him in. He offered to drive her to the city, and I guess she went. Oh, he was so polite, he was creepy.
That's all you know?
Yeah. Hey, Isabel was asking about him, too, What's all this fuss?
He knew Kate's husband, Tom. He was a lawyer. None of us like to see him bothering Kate now.
Was he the guy that got Tom off all those dope charges?
What do you know about that?
I was 14 then. All the kids knew about it. Only the family hushed it up.
Well, you can't blame them, can you?
No, it wasn't all that big. I mean, lots of guys get busted on dope. Kate's husband was lucky.
You kids certainly learn young.
Oh, there you go again. talking to me as if I was a child. Anyhow, it was centuries ago. Only I was sorry about one thing.
What?
Well, I guess I can tell you.
Sure.
Well, there was one guy who used to come around. I forget his name. The kid said he was selling it straight from Tom. I didn't believe it.
You were right. Kate's husband was a sick man, Nancy, but he wasn't a criminal.
Breakfast, thank you.
We got plenty of that. It's the Star Diner specialty.
Oh, but first, do you have a phone?
They're right there behind you on the wall.
Great. Hello, operator. I want to make a collect call to Bellhaven. Oh, I can dial that. Right, I see. You know, you can dial everything these days.
Yeah, and if the numbers get much longer, we'll be back to carrier pigeons to save time.
Oh, hello? Yes, my name, Kate Wakefield. Nobody home. They must have gone to church. Let's see. How about coffee and English and juice?
Right.
I'm going over to the North Falls Star a little later. I just thought I'd eat first.
Oh, who are you seeing?
Let's see. The man's name is Isaiah Frost. I went over earlier, but they told me he's the man to see, but he wasn't in yet.
I know Zed Frost. Nice guy. I know the whole bunch over there. They come in here to eat. That's why we call it the Star Diner.
Oh, you own this place?
Oh, my dad does. I help out. It's sure not what I want to do, but who's got a choice these days? There you are. Look, it's none of my business, but I hope you're not looking for a job at the paper.
Oh, no.
I hate to see you disappointed.
No, I'm going over to look up a story.
Well, you're sure talking to the right man. Zed Frost knows everything that happened in this town for the past 20 years.
Is he the editor?
Oh, he could have been, if it hadn't been for the accident.
What accident?
4 or 5 years ago, some fella hopped up on drugs, killed a girl. Zed started to make it big, front page stuff. But somebody got to the publisher, Dad said. They had a big row.
Thanks for telling me. I think he's just the man I want to see.
Sit down, little lady.
It's nice of you to see me, Mr. Frost.
Well, I just take the news desk here on Sunday. You play checkers?
I love checkers, but I wouldn't take your time for that.
I like a good game, Sundays. You look smart enough to beat me at it. Well, what do you want, a job?
Thanks. I'm lucky enough to have a job. No, it's about something else. I came in to find out something that happened in North Falls a few years ago.
Sure. I'll show you the back issue files.
I'm not sure it would be in the back issue files. But it might be in the stories you didn't print.
Well, we keep some of them, too.
I think maybe I'd better tell you my name first.
Well, sure.
I'm Kate Wakefield.
Wakefield?
Mrs. Tom Wakefield. I come from Bellhaven.
Sure, I remember.
Mr. Frost, what I want to find out is what really happened when my husband had that horrible accident here. Will you tell me?
How do you get the most out of an antiperspirant? The answer may be using Ban Roll-On. Tests have shown that Ban Roll-On helps stop wetness better than most leading sprays. And Ban Roll-On costs about the same, yet lasts longer than most 5 or 6 ounce sprays. Averaging 2 seconds of spray per application, each side, each day, the longest lasting of the leading antiperspirant sprays gives you 37 days of protection. On the average, Ban Roll-On will give you 51 days. That's 38% longer. Ban Roll-On. Why settle for less?
If I had a nickel for every minute I've spent in a dirty oven, scraping and scrubbing, I'd be living in Fort Knox.
Well, there's a different way to clean your oven that's less work. The overnight way, with Mr. Muscle.
Oh, come on.
It's true. With Mr. Muscle, you just spray it on at night. And while you sleep, its self-scouring foam lifts up the grease and grime.
Really?
So next morning, you just wipe clean.
Well, Mr. Muscle really sounds like a good man to wake up to.
Faces of Love features Morgan Fairchild as Kate Wakefield, Nat Polan as Anthony Cushing, and Stotz Cotsworth as Stephen Wolfe. Also appearing were Helene Dumas and Guy Rett. Produced and directed by Ernie Ricca. Written by Margaret LaWorth. And brought to you by Mr. Muscle, the oven cleaner that works the easy overnight way. This is Mel Brandt. This program comes to you from the Radio Playhouse.
Studio presents the radio dramatization of William Makepeace Thackeray's classic novel, Vanity Fair, the story of the clever and charming adventuress, Becky Sharp. In a moment, our author, Mr. Thackeray. The Author's Studio is brought to you by Natural Wear Miss Clairol. To know you're the best you can be.
My dear listeners, I am, to my dismay, author of this novel, William Makepeace Thackeray. Dismay because I am bankrupt of words in the matter of Miss Matilda Crawley's illness. A more cantankerous patient you cannot imagine. Fortunately, our Becky is quite unshaken by the duty and tedium of the sick chamber, though she has passed the night in constant watching upon the invalid. What she longed to do, and could not, was listen all night to the music box sent her by Rawdon. Let us do what she could not. Hear its pretty melody again. Ah, enough. Alas, we've no time for more self-indulgence. Pray, keep in mind Becky must always claim the jewel case music box to be a gift from her made-up love, Gordy. When I write Gordy, substitute Rawdon. Is that clear? Well, splendid. It is very early morning. Miss Crawley is better, weak, but better, no longer crazed by fear, pain, and general bad temper. But not one word has she said to anxious Becky about going to London and taking her nurse along.
Rebecca? Where are you? Rebecca!
Here, Miss Crawley, watching the sun come up over the rim of the world.
Oh, don't be so far away. All the fears come back. But I will go down over the rim of the world.
I'm back, and the foolish fears will go away.
Oh, I was certain I would die, Rebecca.
I was certain you would not.
I still may. One never knows.
Soon, very soon, you'll have sufficient strength to return to London. I'm certain of that as well.
London? What? Did you not hear Dr. Smollett say you'll recover more quickly there?
No.
He feels that you should have your own London physician.
Dr. Smollett is a booby.
That's the very reason you require your own physician.
Oh, do stop talking of it. I don't want to think with this punishing headache. Oh, can't you distract me somewhere?
Oh, I do wish I could think of something, but...
Wait! Yes, I can.
I doubt it.
In the night, the little while you slept, something most wondrous happened. A gift came for me from London.
Oh, for you wondrous, for me not. Therefore not distracting.
When you hear the gift, you will think so.
Hear a gift?
Wait till I fetch it.
Oh, don't go away. I won't be left alone.
It's just here on the table. Now, you mustn't worry so. I promise not to leave you.
But what are you holding behind your back? I don't like secrets.
Listen.
Ah, is it not beautiful? A present, did you say, dear?
From whom?
My true dear love.
Your young soldier, what was his name?
Gordon.
Oh, yes.
How sweetly it plays. Lady Greensleeves, is it not?
Yes. Once I wore a green dress with the gaudy. Oh, the very dress I wore last night at Captain Rawdon's party.
Charming dress made your green eyes greener.
That night he sang Lady Greensleeves to me. Oh, gaudy, not Captain Rawdon, of course. Oh, how happy we were that night. He has sent the music to remind me, though I need no reminding.
Do you miss him very much, child?
My heart is heavy with missing him. I'm never without pain and sadness, and I can't... Oh, no, no, let us not talk of my pain. Yours is far more important.
The music made me forget my pain for a little, but no more.
Shall I wind it again?
No. Go and summon Sir Pitt.
Sir Pitt? You said you didn't want to see him at all.
I have changed my mind. If necessary, have his servant waken.
Well, I don't wish to be kept waiting. Go!
Ah, me. It did appear that Miss Crawley's temper had improved as well as her malady. But it sounds as if her rancorous disposition will continue. Aimed at Sir Pitt. Why? You will have the answer directly.
Uncle Thaddeus, can I ask you something?
Don't ask for money.
It's this cold, Unc.
Nephew, you need four-way nasal spray.
Will it help?
Use as directed, four-way provides the fastest decongestant relief possible for stuffy noses and sinuses.
Unc, that's a blast. Is it expensive?
Ah, four-way costs a darn sight less than the leading brand. You can't buy faster relief at any price.
I'm going to get some four-way.
Maybe you've got a nose for business after all.
Julie, I haven't touched it for years.
Mom, you're doing fine.
Oh, poor kid.
5 minutes, Claude.
Let's sit down. We're meeting your father for dinner. How do I look?
You always look pretty.
Thanks, sweetheart.
Especially your hair. Mom, the class is starting.
Oh.
Even when you can't hold up any longer, your hair can with Finalnet. Finalnet is not an aerosol. There's no wasteful propellant. It's concentrated to hold your hair all day. Finalnet holds up longer than you do.
Sir Pitt did indeed have to be wakened by Horrocks. Still in nightcap, wadded in a grubby old dressing gown, in no better humor than his half-sister, he emerges from his bedchamber into the sitting room where Becky waits.
What the devil, Becky? Why have you routed me from my bed before I... Matilda, she's dying.
I know how sorry you'll be to learn it, sir. But she's not dying. She's mending and wishes to see you.
At this hour?
At this hour.
Confound it, why?
I don't know and can't understand it. Of a sudden, she said, summon Sir Pitt and would give no reason. You'd best come along quickly.
No, no, now wait. Change your will. That be it, you think you? Leave me not a farthing.
If that's the case, why would she send for you?
To torment me. Oh, Betty, Betty, be she ill-pleased with me about something I know naught of?
I've not heard of it.
While she's been here at Queen's Crawley, ain't I done all she wanted? What she asks, I do, yes?
Indeed you do. A proper lackey you've been.
You're bound to be hated, but I'm bound. I need what she's left me.
Oh, you're hardly in danger of the almshouse. You don't need it, you old miser. You but want it. Now, will you come, though? First, we'll take off that foolish nightcap.
Oh, whatever you say, Becky, whatever you say.
Oh, no, 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 leave it on. It might make Miss C laugh.
No, don't you laugh at me, girl. You know right well you're the apple of my eye. Oh, come along, though. No, 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 something in me says stay. I don't like this. No, I don't. How be you, Matilda?
A little better. Far from well.
Miss Crawley, you've Sir Pitt to stay with you. If you'll excuse me, I want to go to the kitchen and oversee your breakfast. And I'll bring your morning tea myself.
I can't eat.
Oh, you must eat. Nothing heavy, no, but good rich broth to make you strong.
Oh, very well. Go along.
I'll be back as soon as I can.
I'm glad you're better, Matilda. Very glad.
I doubt it. You see this music box, Pitt?
Music box, is it?
Would you like it to hear its tune?
Oh, if you like.
Do you know this song?
I've heard it.
The words?
No.
Then listen.
Alas, my love, you do me wrong to cast me off discourteously. When I have loved you for so long, delighting in your company.
Thought it was about Lady Greengrass or some such.
Green Sleeves, idiot. The refrain gives her name. And for your information, Becky is Lady Greensleeve.
Eh?
The music box was sent to her.
Oh, so that's what a rider brought late last night.
Sent by her love.
By who?
A soldier she's given her heart to.
Becky? Her heart? Rubbish. Never heard of no soldier. What upstart sent her that contraption?
You never heard, for she knows you're a jealous old fool and might well have an apoplexy. Be so good as not to have one now. I can't linger at Queen's Crawley to see you buried. I leave in the morning, Pitt.
Leave? What? Well, you'll be a sick woman, Matilda.
Tis why I go. That ninny, Dr. Smollett, never will heal me.
Oh.
Don't feign you're sorry to see the last of me. You're glad to be rid of me. And I'm glad to be quit of you.
Oh, speak for yourself. I'm sorry. I'll drag it myself up to London.
That will not be necessary.
A journey alone, or you can't.
I do not intend to. I am taking Rebecca with me.
You what?
The true reason I depart has not been given. It's this pretty music box. It made me see Becky as such a dear, good girl. Has nursed me so tenderly. I must help her to see her own true love.
Sir Pitt clings to the bedpost lest he fall down. Loses Rebecca for even one day, 2 days, a week. And how ironical. Miss Crawley herself taking Rebecca to the nephew who must not love a governess. Tomorrow, ladies and gentlemen, your faithful servant, William Makepeace Thackeray.
Anyone knows, hair is only as beautiful as the condition it's in. Natural Wear Miss Clairol shampoo formula conditions while it colors, makes your hair healthy looking and manageable while it adds natural glowing color that covers gray. And it's so easy to use. Just shampoo it in for fresh young color that stays color true week after week. For conditioning hair color, the best it can be, at any price, Natural Wear Miss Clairol, to know you're the best you can be. For conditioning hair color, the best it can be, at any price, Natural Wear Miss Clairol, to know you're the best you can be.
Say, did you know that a 1.5-ounce bottle of Ban Roll-On antiperspirant costs about the same, yet lasts longer than most 5 or 6-ounce sprays? Listen to this. Averaging 2 seconds of spray per application each side each day, the longest lasting of the leading antiperspirant sprays will give you 37 days of protection. On the average, Ban Roll-On will give you 51 days. That's 38% longer. And tests have shown that Ban Roll-On will help stop wetness better than most leading sprays. Ban Roll-On, so economical, yet so effective.
The Author Studio has been brought to you by Ban Roll-On, America's leading roll-on antiperspirant. This program comes to you from the Radio Playhouse. It's not nice to eavesdrop, but it's fun. So let's check in on the comedy of errors at the Baxter. On the little things in life. Brought to you by Loving Care Color Lotion from Clairol.
Yes, Mr. Baxter?
Did you try calling Mrs. Baxter again?
Oh, yes, Mr. Baxter, but the line's still busy. I've been trying every 5 minutes. Perhaps the phone's off the hook.
I doubt that. Would you try again right now, please?
Oh, surely.
I want to talk to my wife before I leave for that meeting.
Perhaps there's something wrong with the line or the phone.
There's nothing wrong with our phone except that my wife is always on it.
I'm afraid it's still busy. I was wondering, Mr. Baxter, if I might leave a little bit early today. I'm meeting my fiancé. We're choosing the colors for our living room.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yes, sure.
We're doing our living room in autumn colors. A lovely moss green carpet. And then we've decided to have slip covers on the chairs because they're so much easier to clean than if they're upholstered.
Oh, yes, Well, fine.
Now, these are the samples. We're having two wing-back chairs and an apricot crushed velvet.
Well, that's...
Then, our draperies are going to be this flowered print, which picks up the moss green of the carpet and the apricot velvet and the soft gold walls. We're having the walls done in soft gold.
Oh, yes? Oh, well, that sounds lovely. Now I'd like to dictate a letter.
Then we're having a small occasional chair done in a bright pumpkin color.
That sounds very lovely. You want to try my home once more?
Oh, yes, certainly. We're having such a time deciding on the wallpaper for the dining room. I do so like murals. But the one long wall is broken up with a window. Then, of course, we have to tie in the colors with the living room. Oh, dear, I'm afraid the line's still busy, Mr. Baxter.
Figures. Well, keep trying. Busy for 1 hour, 2 hours.
I was on the phone.
I know you were on the phone. You're always on the phone.
No, I'm not always on the phone. Sometimes I'm cleaning, washing your clothes, doing things like that.
Are you home, Bob? Oh, I better get my corn muffins in the oven.
Aunt Maggie, we really don't need corn muffins. Well, I mean, Bob and I are putting on so much weight with all your wonderful cooking.
Oh, I'd like to do it for you.
Miss Perkins tried to phone here every 5 minutes for at least 2 hours, and all she got was a busy signal. A buzz, buzz, buzz.
Oh, goodness, such a cross patch. Now, you go in and read your paper and relax. And then you'll feel a lot better after you've had a nice dinner.
I may feel better, but I'm not going to feel any different about all this phoning business. I can never reach you. I always get a busy signal.
Well, no, I was on the phone this afternoon. I was talking to my friend Mrs. Cooper. Poor dear. After having one kidney out, now she's having gallbladder trouble.
Well, I'm not talking about Mrs. Cooper and her gallbladder. I'm concerned about...
Well, I guess if you had a gallbladder trouble, you'd be concerned.
Look, all I said was...
Mrs. Cooper is very fond of you. She asked about you. She said, and how is Bob these days? He is such a lovely person.
Look, I like Mrs. Cooper, too. All I meant was that...
I was the one who was on the phone most of the time. I had to call Mrs. Palmer about the woman's club. Then I spent I don't know how long on the phone calling about the chair we're having recovered. And I must have talked to a dozen different people at that store. Nobody knows anything about it at all. As far as I can figure out, far from recovering the chair, they've even lost it.
I had to listen to Miss Perkins tell me all about a new decorating scheme, showing me samples of the autumn colors for the living room.
Oh, that's nice. I'd like
to... Well, I'd be glad when she gets married.
Now, look, go and read your evening paper, and we'll get dinner on.
Now, look, something has to be done about reaching home when I try to call home.
Well, I don't know. I put in another phone.
I can't afford that.
Well, I asked Debbie what she wants for Christmas. She said she wants a phone of her own. Maybe that's the solution. She's at school during the day, so if I'm on our phone, you could call me on Debbie's phone, and I...
Which would be up in her room, and you wouldn't hear it.
Well, all right, we put in an extra jack down here someplace, an extra phone on her line.
My goodness, this modern-day life is much too complicated. I can remember when my father finally put in a telephone because my mother insisted.
When was that, Aunt Maggie?
Well, it must have been around 1916. And how she loved the telephone. Clara Wilkins was a switchboard operator, and she listened in all the conversations, and she knew where everybody was at all times of the day.
Those were the good old days, huh?
Oh, I don't know how good they were, but they were certainly more interesting. Interesting. I remember Mother picking up the receiver one day, and she said she was calling your sister Eva. So she just said, Clara, give me 5-6. And Clara said, oh, Eva's not home, Francis. I just saw her go past the post office.
Well, I guess things are a bit different now.
Oh, yes. Lines were never busy. Clara just interrupted. Get off the phone, Francis, she'd say to my mother. Esther Cigarin wants to talk to you.
Those were the good old days. You know what I'm going to do? I'm going to figure out how much of your life you spend on the phone.
Dear, as Aunt Maggie said, go read your paper and relax.
No, I'm going to figure it out. I don't think you women realize how much of your life you waste talking on the phone.
Oh,
and
my.
I'm going to figure it out.
just eat dinner, dear, and not cope with your statistics?
Yes, eat the muffins before they're cold.
Here, put your paper and pencil away. Bob, dear, now.
Where is Debbie?
Oh, she said to go ahead and eat. She's working on some project which needs gluing, and she has to hold things while they dry. She'll be down.
Now.
Honey, could we eat, please?
Eat, eat. I just want to show you something. Now, let us say that you talk on the phone 1 hour a day, and that's minimum, minimum.
The lamb stew is delicious, dear.
Oh, thank you, Maggie. I love
minimum, 1 hour a day.
Oh, honey.
And with 365 days in a year, that means 365 hours a year. Mm. And that, divided by 24 hours a day, means that you spend a total of 15 days a year on the phone. 15 days every year on the phone.
How do you get that?
I just told you.
Lamb stew is your favorite. Why don't you eat it?
I will. But do you realize the significance of that?
No.
If you spend 15 days of your life every year on the phone, that means if you live to be 90, 15 times 90 is 1,350 days you will have spent on the telephone.
So I talk on the telephone, but if you're figuring that I may live to be 90, I certainly wasn't talking an hour a day on the phone when I was 3 years old.
Oh, no. Okay. Mm. When did you start gabbing on the phone?
Oh, about the age of 15, I guess. Aunt Maggie, would you pass the mint jelly, please?
Oh, yes, dear. My stew is so good. Mm. Why don't you eat?
I will. Okay, so I subtract 15 years, making it 75 years. So, if you live to be 75 years old and talk on the phone 1 hour a day, which, as I said, is the minimum, you will then have spent, 15 times 75.
Aunt Maggie and I have spent all day. Well, not all day, but a good part of the day fixing this lamb stew, and you just sit there. Really,
okay,
honey,
let's put it this way. You spend 2 years of your life every 50 years on the phone. 2 years. 2 years.
So?
So? Doesn't that appall you?
No. In fact, I don't think you've even figured it out. Let me have your paper and pencil.
Nobody is eating my corn muffins, which will certainly be cold.
Just a minute, Aunt Magna. Now, let's see. Say I started talking on the phone at the age of 15, subtract that from 90 to 75, then multiply that by 365.
Why?
Just a minute. That gives us... 27,375 divided by 24 hours, or is that days? Is that hours or days?
I don't know. I don't know what you're doing.
I don't either. In fact, I don't see the point in any of this. I really don't.
I am trying to point out that life is short, and you're spending entirely too much of it on the phone.
Why aren't you thankful we have a telephone?
Because you're on it all the time.
If I weren't on the phone and there were no telephones, I'd have to drive into town or all around to my friends. And if we had no cars, and these were the good old days, I'd have to go out to a barn instead of the garage and harness up the horse and buggy. And that's better?
Yes, maybe so.
Except that you would have had to feed the horse and shovel out the manure.
Neither of you seem to get my point.
Oh. Yeah, I get your point. I talk too much on the phone, except for one thing. What was so important that you tried to get me on the phone all afternoon? What did you want? And what was it you wanted?
You know something? I've forgotten.
Oh, honey. Oh, now, would you please eat my corn muffins before they're stone cold?
Yeah.
Hi, I'm trimming my little girl's hair. Mine was the same beautiful chestnut color once, before the grays started sneaking in. But I discovered Loving Care Color Lotion from Clairol. It covered my grays without changing my natural color, and it has no peroxide. Loving Care made my hair shinier and softer, too. Our hair looks almost alike now, except mine has no bubble gum in it.
Loving Care Color Lotion from Clairol. It's good for your hair.
Uncle Thaddeus, can I ask you something?
Don't ask for money.
It's this cold, Unc.
Nephew, you need four-way nasal spray.
Will it help?
Used as directed, four-way provides the fastest decongestant relief possible for stuffy noses and sinuses.
Unc, that's a blast. Is it expensive?
Nah, four-way costs a darn sight less than the leading brand. You can't buy faster relief at any price.
I'm gonna get some four-way.
Maybe you've got a nose for business after all.
The Little Things in Life, created by Peg Lynch, has been brought to you by
Four-Way Nasal Spray gives you the fastest decongestant relief possible. This program comes to you from the Radio Playhouse.
To have and to hold. To have and to hold. The story of the traditional vows, the new morality, and the people caught in the conflict between them. Brought to you by Final Net. Gives your hair a great, long-lasting hold.
Jefferson Hospital, 7th floor. Oh, hello, Dr. Carter. Trish Ryan. Yes, they're doing very well. Dr. Gonzalez is here. Dr. Gonzalez is Dr. Carter.
Thank you. Hello, Dr. Carter. We received 15 so far. Uh-huh. I think Billings has 20 and St. Luke's has... Oh, I don't know. How are things at Brixton? Yes. All the transfers are fine, but it will be months for the plastic surgery. No, I'm sorry, Dr. Foster isn't on the floor. All right. Goodbye, Doctor. Trish, where is Dr. Foster?
Down on 4, I think.
Oh, good morning, Joe. Hello, Trish.
Hi, Angela.
You just missed your brother-in-law.
Jason, he called?
He was checking on the Brixton people we have.
Did he say when he'd be back?
In a few days. Have time for coffee?
Well, if it's all right with Trish... Go ahead, Angela. It's pretty quiet this morning.
That's unusual. He must be doing something wrong.
Don't say that in a hospital. Here's the elevator.
Oh, well, before I forget it, Joe, you're invited to lunch.
Me?
Well, Emily's coming in for a checkup with Marsh, and we're having lunch afterwards, and she suggested you join us.
Oh, that's very kind of her.
Oh, I'm sorry she wasn't here when Jason called. She missed him last night when she called.
How is she doing?
I don't know, Joe. She, she doesn't complain.
Mm-hmm.
The medication is effective, but there is something wrong, and she knows it.
Well, Zabu gets back next week. Here, let's help ourselves.
Oh, all right. She, does know about the consultation.
Oh, I thought Dr. Carter was going to tell her when the date was set.
Well, Marsh thought she should know now.
Of course she should. Let's take that table.
All doctors don't feel that way.
It's a matter of time.
What do you mean?
Well, if you tell a patient something, you have to explain it. And if he or she will ask questions... You have to answer them.
Well, you're pretty good at that. I saw you the other day with Mrs. Collier.
Oh, the lady with the duodenal ulcer?
You must have taken 15 minutes with her.
Well, it's time well spent. You find out things you might not get to for weeks.
What did Mrs. Collier tell you?
She hates her husband, and he's got an ulcer, too.
Well, Emily, you've got nothing new to report?
Nope. Have you?
Your blood pressure is up a bit.
Significantly?
Nope.
That's probably Jason's fault.
Well, what's the husband for?
You know, if I had the slightest excuse, I'd go down to Brixton to see him.
Well, he's probably busy and exhausted.
And I have a feeling I'd be in the way.
Why do you say that?
Oh, when I've talked to Helen Anthony, they're always rushing out or just getting in.
Well, I wouldn't want you down there anyway.
Any special reason?
Well... Let's say I like to have you around.
Marsh, why does such a nice, friendly thought have such a tricky sound to it?
Tricky? Oh, come on, Emily.
What do they call that course in medical school? Evasive one? Or chin-checking two?
Now listen, Brixton is no place for someone who might need care themselves. They have enough emergencies without adding to their problems.
That's more like it, Marsh.
And I'm glad you're here.
Ah.
Oh, Betsy had such a good time at your place the other night.
Oh, did you get the taffy?
did I get... It was good.
Well, you should have seen, or rather felt, the kitchen afterwards. Every doorknob, drawer pull, chair, faucet, light switch, sticky.
Do you think all antiperspirants are basically the same? Well, Ban Roll-On antiperspirant may just change your mind. Take effectiveness, for instance. Tests have shown that Ban Roll-On antiperspirant will actually help stop wetness better than most leading sprays. Make your own test soon. Pick up a bottle of Ban Roll-On and you may discover what we've shown in tests. Ban Roll-On antiperspirant. Proof that not all antiperspirants are created equal.
Mystery meat again. The food hasn't changed since the last time I was in college, but I have. 12 years later, 12 gray hairs. The only gray hairs in the entire class. So, I tried Loving Care Color Lotion from Clairol. It has no peroxide, just covers up gray without changing your natural color. Loving Care made my hair softer and shinier. And two boys wanted my number.
Loving Care Color Lotion from Clairol. It's good for your hair.
You know, I think I've lost Jennifer to Joe, don't you, Em?
Oh, I wouldn't count on it, Angela. Jennifer loves everything. Kittens, toads, terrariums,
we are in
anything.
Very good company, Angela.
She even likes Dr. Fusco, the dentist.
Well, at least he's a professional man.
Yeah, she's not one bit fussy.
I think you might have an edge, Joe, if you could throw a pizza.
You mean up in the air?
She claims they taste better that way.
Oh, well, she knows. And both my daughters have nominated you for what... you might consider a dubious honor.
Well, since I failed at pizza, any small kindness.
Seriously, Dr. Gonzalez, we would all like you to spend Thanksgiving weekend with us up at our cabin on the lake.
Oh, but it's a family celebration.
Well, I thought your family was in Mexico.
Oh, no, I mean I'd be intruding on your family.
I'm afraid that's a lousy excuse, Joe. Jennifer doesn't recognize such distinctions.
Well, I'm overwhelmed and delighted. And I accept.
Oh, great. Our son Bobby will be there, too. I don't think you've met him yet.
No.
He's been in Harvard.
Uh-huh. I wonder if we'll recognize him. I detected a faint, broad A in his last phone call.
We'll be roughing it a bit, but the cabin is snug.
Mm. I guess it'll be too early for skating or ice boating.
Oh, that's not until December, usually. Mm.
I'd better get some warm clothes, then.
No, don't get anything special. Unless you really want to. We have loads of sweaters and jackets and all sorts of things.
Mm. You're so kind.
Oh, I'm so glad you can come.
Yes, Jennifer would have been off pizza for at least one day if you'd said no.
What are you doing, Ginger?
What does it look like?
Well, it's almost 6 o'clock.
Is there any rule against cleaning your house after 5 o'clock?
Now, you know what I mean. This place is immaculate.
Oh, you noticed?
Yes. Betsy and Cora are out?
Yes. They went to a craft exhibit.
Then we can talk.
We have nothing to say to each other.
Ginger, we have 16 years of things left unsaid and 16 years of not facing the truth.
You agreed. You promised we would never talk about it. No one would have to know.
Why not, Ginger? Why shouldn't Betsy have known she was adopted right from the beginning?
For the very reason she is adopted.
Because her real mother couldn't keep her? Is that what you mean?
Yes. She'd have to know she's illegitimate.
Oh, what difference does that make?
And I wanted her to grow up believing I was her mother. Her only mother.
Darling, listen. Have you ever thought of what it will do to her when she does find out?
She won't find out. Not from me. And if you tell us, Marsh, please, for my sake, don't.
Well, can't you see what you're doing to us all?
Why does she have to know?
Because we've lied to her. She has a right to the truth.
Why now? What's happened? We agreed in Baltimore the day when you put her in my arms that she was ours. That no one would ever have to know she's adopted.
I think it's as much for your sake as it is hers.
What are you saying?
Ginger, for 16 years we've pretended. We've not been honest with the one person who needs our love and honesty. And I think that lie has grown so great that it has warped all the love we say we have for her and for each other.
Can you imagine what it would do to her now? Do you have any idea at all?
I'm not saying we have to tell her right now, but we can start. We can start by being honest with each other.
Are you going to confess all your dirty little affairs?
Oh, strange as it may seem to you, Ginger, I've been strangely faithful to you.
What is strangely faithful?
Well, when I think of how often you've accused me, it's strange I didn't fulfill your wildest fantasies.
Why do you want to go back on your promise to keep the secret?
A better question would be, why did I promise in the first place?
We thought it was the best thing for Betsy.
Why was it for Betsy? A three-day-old baby? She had nothing to hide. We were the ones, Ginger, right from the beginning. We used her. And we told ourselves that it was for her good.
This is what aerosol hairspray sounds like. This is what Finalnet sounds like. The big difference in the way they sound is the big difference in the way they work. Finalnet is not an aerosol. It's concentrated to give you a great long-lasting hold. There are no wasteful propellants. That makes it economical, too. 8 ounces of Finalnet go as far as 24 ounces of aerosol hairspray. You get a great hold at a great price. Finalnet, the first sensible alternative to aerosol hairspray.
I sweep my floor and I still hear sugar underfoot. I hate that straw broom.
That's the kind of dirt straw brooms miss. But an Oceder angler broom would get it. Angler bristles are cut on an angle to keep more tips on the floor, and the tips are closer together. Oceder Angler gets the dirt other brooms miss.
Oceder makes your life easier.
What do you hear from your floor?
Not sound. Oceder makes your life easier.
To Have and to Hold has been brought to you by the Oceder Angler Broom. It gets the dirt other brooms miss. This program has come to you from the Radio Playhouse, a DCA Productions program.